Jesus, thank you, Father God. Thank you
very much. Psalm 107, verse 17. Join me in Psalm 107, beginning with verse 17. 107, verse 17. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. This psalm was written at a time when David was leading Israel. Right. And they had the Ten Commandments, and they had the first five books of the Bible, and that they didn't have the Savior that we have today. And yet they became rebellious. They forgot about the Lord and his ways. And because of that, it caused them trouble. It caused them illness, physical, emotional, spiritual. Right? And yet the Lord sent forth his word and healed them. He brought them back from the grave. And David, in the Psalms, says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Let them tell of his works with songs of joy. You join me in prayer, please. Father God, we admit that we've been rebellious, Lord. We've forgotten who you are. We've ignored your word. We've been distracted by the things of the world. We tried to fill up on the food of the world, Lord, and it hasn't been satisfying. It's made us ill, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And yet, Lord, not only did you send your physical word through the scripture, but you sent the living word in your son, Jesus, our Savior. And by his stripes, we are healed. You rescued us from the grave. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful deeds, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the awesome God that you are, and you loved us so while we were yet unlovable. And now, Lord, let us raise up our voices in thanksgiving and praise for the awesome God you are. Father, we too, we pray for those among us who are sick, friends like Betty's, friends that are going through through some of the hurricane aftermath up in Carolina, Lord. We lift them all up to you. Lord, let this time be honoring. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. I didn't get a chance to introduce last week Neely and Stanley. We've got up here. They've started to join the praise team. We're doing a rotation, different folks coming through, but it's definitely a privilege to have you guys up here. Thank you very much. And we've got Olivia back there today. So anyway, we're doing a mix. Amen, amen. So we're all being stretched as we learn and as we grow. So please bear with us as we worship the Lord. But the thing is that I have to keep reminding myself is that it really is about God, and it's about worshiping him. And when I miss a note and when my voice cracks and all those things that happen from time to time, that, you know, God still loves us, and he meets us right where we're at. So amen. So we're doing a blend of track and live. So why don't we all stand? And George, why don't you hit the go button? And we'll worship the Lord. Amen. A little bit louder. There we go. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Hail the power of Jesus' name. And seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord.
Lord of all,
Lord of all, you are Lord of all, Lord of all, you are Lord of all. This celestial wall, to him all majesty ascribes, and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribes, and crown him Lord. Lord of all, you are Lord of all, crown him Lord of all, and crown him Lord of all, and crown.
Lord of all.
Of mercy never ceasing, call our songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I fear it, prone to leave the God I love. My heart, Lord, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy Son.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Well, we haven't sung that song in a while. And because the words are so meaningful, that was our dry run. So let's go through it again, and let's sing that song again. And I just want those words to just minister to our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Let the river refresh our hearts.
Come now, fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing Thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, from our songs of loudest praise. Teach me some of His sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love.
Thank you, Lord, for Your love. Thank you for Your love, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I constrain to plead. Let Thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to Thee. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy course of love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above.
Thank you, Lord. And for that, we want to give thanks. We give thanks to You this day. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for all that You've done for us. Give thanks.
Give thanks with the grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given. Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks for the grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given. Jesus Christ, His Son. Say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We do give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, because we can give thanks, we can also say that we shall not be moved. Isn't that right? I shall not be moved. Let's kick this one off, Olivia. Get us started in the right key. Get us in G.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
In the love abiding,
in His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Though the hail surrounds me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me, I shall not be moved.
Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
That's right.
Oh, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Verse 4. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved.
Just is like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Some glad morning when this life is over, celestial shore, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
When the shadows
of this life are gone, bars are flown, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Just a few more
weary days and then I'll fly away to lead the joys will never end. I'll fly away.
There we go.
Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
When I die,
when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Well, it is finished. Have a good day. Pastor Darren, come on up. Take it to the next level.
Good morning, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. Oh, yeah, you guys don't want me singing. Oh, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. All right. Well, hey, a couple things before we get started. One, if we're just take 1 minute, and we're going to pray for, I had a few calls this week and just this morning, even just asking for prayer. And so if you guys would just pray for Mayan and Jim as they might be taking Jim to the hospital this morning. So if we can just also just take a minute and want to pray for them. Also, for those of you guys who don't know, Josh McLeod was in a bad accident where he took the impact of the blow to his back. Although the vehicle wasn't damaged, he ruptured multiple discs, I guess, in his back. And so So it's just a big mess. And he's been seeing doctors and getting MRIs and lawyers. And it's just it's a bad thing. So we can also pray for their family too. Also for the Gannon family too, as Chris's brother has just passed away. And so there's just a bunch of folks that let's just take 1 minute and let's just pray. And then we'll give, if anybody has any thanks before we start with the announcements and getting into the Word of God. Father, we just want to pray right now for Jim, Lord, that you would heal him up. Lord, you know exactly what he needs, Lord. And Mayanne, Lord, that you would give her just confidence in you, Lord God. We pray for Josh, Lord, with that accident, Lord, and just telling me how much pain he's in his neck and his back. And Lord, I just ask for a healing touch for him, Lord God. Just I know he works managing and very physical, and now the doctors are telling him those days are gone. And so, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would either just touch him and heal him, Lord God, or give him the strength and the grace to do whatever you need him to do. Lord, I pray for Chris and his family with the death of his brother, Lord God, that you would just be with them as well this morning, and Wendy Jo and everybody who's being ministered to there. And so, Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon your people that are here, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name, and those who aren't, that you would encourage them in your word, that you would speak today, Lord God. We pray for your blessing, and we thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord, and all you still do. In Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, before we get started, and I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like a little echoey, yeah. Loud. It's mostly me. I love that. I don't know where that mic is. Does anybody want to give a praise report? Okay.
So I won't go into all the details, but we've received several letters from Cross, and he called me last Sunday, which sent me, I was at Walmart in the back, which sent me screaming and running to the front of the store the whole way, and I have it recorded. I sound like a horse galloping through Walmart, but it was so awesome to have him call. But in his letters, I'm so thankful for everybody's prayers, and God's word does not return void. You know, my boy is going to church every week, and he reads his Bible every day, and he is liking worship, and so it's just so awesome to hear that, and yeah. So it's hard, but he's doing good, so.
And just little things, you know, with that, the way the Lord's working, you know, he didn't get real sick, you know, through all the inoculations, you know, things like that. And a lot of people got sick, but, you know, nothing major. Praise God, no injury so far. He's not regretting anything. He's loving it, you know, and everything's been going good. You know.
No, one thing. He pink eye was going around. I thought you were going to tell. Pink eye was going around. And this was the night before he was in reception. He was going to go to basic. And I don't know if that would hold them up from going, if they had the pink eye or what. But he prayed all night, and he woke up the next morning fine. So it was such a testimony for him.
Oh, Kayla's in. He's always looking for verses to read.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we've set up some verses, things like that. So if anybody's heart, let us know. We'll write it down, and we'll send it to them in the next letter, any particular verses or anything like that. So.
Or anybody feels led to write a letter, we can send that, too.
All right. Well, thank you.
I have a big praise. My older dog had a minor heart attack last week. So I was up all night for 3 nights watching him, and now he's running and playing, and he's turning 13 years old tomorrow. So it's a big deal for me because I've had him since he was 6 months old, and I rescued him at the Humane Society, and he's given me an extra 8-9 years to live with my condition. So it was very rough last week staying up all night watching him and watching him breathe. He wasn't walking. He couldn't get up my stairs. He couldn't even go to my bedroom to lay down. And I had to make him his... I thought I had to put him down on Thursday. It was rough. It was really rough. So all the prayers helped that I needed for my dog because he's my therapy dog.
Well, this is probably going to sound kind of strange. We keep getting these phone calls from Betty, telling us about her school and how things are going for her, and that story is up to her. But I don't make friends real easily. And Betty has been there forever, and she makes me feel very wanted. So, Betty, I appreciate your love and concern.
On Friday, I got a phone call from my sister. And I don't, you know, when I get a phone call from her, it's usually good news. Well, I got this one and it wasn't. And I didn't know what was going on, but her son, my nephew, has been in the hospital for the last couple of weeks, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. So she called me, and she was distraught, and I just was listening when she called, listening for her and listening for the Lord. Because I asked her a couple questions, and I said, "What has the Lord said to you?" And she said, "Nothing." Well, you got to understand, my sister is a warrior. When I have a prayer need and a prayer request, she's at the top of the list of who I call, because I know that she has that personal, intimate relationship. And so anyway, she called and we listened for the Lord, and the Lord led us through his scriptures about how awesome he is, how he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we would ask or even think. And he led us to Romans chapter 8. He led us to Philippians about the name which is above every name. And the miracle happened yesterday because they had no idea what was going on. All of a sudden, they did discover that it was spinal meningitis, virals, whatever, but they're able to treat it, and he was able to come home yesterday. And this morning I was reading Daniel chapter 9 and 10, mm-hmm. and I'm like, wait a minute, that's exactly what happened. There was a spirit of oppression going on in my sister's life, and she needed somebody else to get in there and help her, just like Daniel did. And so I'm really excited about what we are going to talk about here in this week and next week or whatever. But the Word of God is true. He speaks no careless word. All he says is purest truth, like silver, seven times refined. So when we get into the prayer and the spirit of oppression and all those things that we're going to hear about in Daniel's life, they're real in our lives too. So we need to make the word our own so that we can do what the Word of God says can be done.
My praise report is someone that is very dear to my heart, has cancer. And they had the first chemo on Monday. And there's a lot of swollen places in their body. And praise God, the ones that were visible, you can no longer see. Amen. So God is working in their life. And I ask for prayer that you will ask for their spiritual life, that the Lord would draw them back to him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, one more as we're going back there. And then we got to start two of the teaching. And Jay, I saw you. Jay, what size are you?
Large.
Jay, since you gave that other shirt, this is a Team Jesus shirt I'm giving you.
Hallelujah.
It's yours. And Josh, that's going to glow in the dark for your youth group. And George, if you could turn me down just a little bit. I love the Team Jesus shirts. I love it. I love it. And as that's being passed around too, since we love the word, if anybody, whoever was here, it's kind of funny. There's folks that were not here last week that are here, and so I'm just gonna. If anybody was not here last week, I want to put a teaching in your hand. It's from John chapter 14, 1 to 12, was anybody not here and that would like, okay, I want to put the Word of God in your hand, I would encourage you to listen it. Honestly, I think it was an anointed message. Okay. Okay. There you go.
Right.
You can get it at homefellowshipchurch.com. Is there anybody else that saw hands raised? Hands raised. Okay. There are a few more. I didn't make enough copies. So I just want to encourage you to listen to it. I think it was just the Lord speaking. And that's what we prayed for and that's what we asked for, is just to have the Lord speak to us. Lord, do you have the mic? Okay, good.
Not many know that my youngest daughter is blind, and I was out shopping with her one day, and somebody asked me, do you think she's scared to walk by herself? And my daughter, without a beat, said this, and I couldn't believe it came out of her. She says, though I don't see with my eyes, I see with the eyes of Jesus, and therefore I don't fear, for he'll never leave me astray. And I couldn't believe that my five-year-old had said this, and I realized I didn't have to speak for her. Because sometimes I wondered that, and I was very proud of her, and I realized that what I'm teaching her, she is understanding.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And you know what, guys? For whatever it's worth, you know, as we go through, even as we get into the Word today, you know, I just want to share something with you. And maybe I'll do it later. No, the Lord has me do it now. Okay, so this morning, of course, you always have those mornings where, I don't know, everything kind of goes wrong. So literally, as I'm trying to get ready and we're getting out the door, and of course I'm late and all this other stuff, and my glasses just broke. Now, for those of you who don't know, without these glasses, they're special lenses, so they're super thinned, but I'm legally blind, which means that I look at you guys, and you guys are all, you know how in the Bible Jesus said when they first did that healing, you're like trees walking around. That's what it is. You're a big blur to me. I can't see anybody's facial expressions. You could be sticking out your tongue right now. Betty, especially you, I can't even see you, and I think you're sticking your tongue out right now. But you know, so I can't see, and I'm trying to get ready, and I'm trying to fix the thing. I can't see anything, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I kind of worked it out, so I got one of the arms back so I wouldn't be like Matrix, like, oh, I'm going to look like a goof. But then I realized, wow, you know, how much I take these glasses for granted and how much they help me see things clearly. I can't tell who you are from this distance. Not a person here. I can't see it clearly. I can't make it out. And it's that same way with the Word of God. I think we can take His Word, you know what I mean, for granted. There are plenty of people and plenty of countries around the world that would love to have a Bible or even a New Testament. And I saw the tattoo. That's how I got you. See, buddy. You know, they would love to have that. And yet, we have Bibles. Some of our families, some of our homes, we've got multiple Bibles on the shelves, right? In fact, not only do we have what, one on the nightstand? What? Yet we're not even reading it. Yet it's His Word that helps us to see everything clearly. Now, I realize I might look a little bit like a goof with this, but I tell you, it's necessary. It is absolutely necessary. Now, I could get by without these glasses. I would just miss everything that's going on around me. And it's the same way with His Word. As you take in His Word in your heart, if you read it, as you take time, it's going to help you see things differently, experience things differently. And so, please, don't take His precious Word for granted. God bless you. Don't take it for granted. It's there for a reason. He's given you the words of eternal life, His precious love letters right to you, right there sitting you. And if you know what? If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one free. Some people don't like that I give away free stuff all the time, but that's okay. They'll get over it. Freely I've been given, and you know, freely I've received from the Lord, and freely we give out, right, guys? And so we're going to give it away. And we're going to trust that he's going to provide, you know. We don't take up offerings. We have a little bird box back there where you would put your tithes and offerings. But God will provide for that. So again, make sure you do not take him. I'm going to try to balance these things and do the best I can. So I'm a little discombobulated this morning. But God's going to get us through it. And so, okay. So, tithes and offerings, we mentioned that. I also want to give you just also a little praise report since we were giving praise reports. Back in the back, we got the portable that's up there in the back. And I just really want to thank the Lord for what's going on. Just additional praise reports. The county has given us all the approvals that we need. So everything's now been checked off. All we have now we're waiting for is their certificate of occupancy, and we're good to go. And so that's amazing. Not only that, but wait, there's more. Not only that, but yesterday, one of our teachers at Shepherd's Heart Christian School said, "Hey, I'm driving by. There was another school at another church, unfortunately, and they were shutting down." And so they said, "Hey, I don't know if you want to stop in." So we stopped in, and we bought about $2,000 worth of stuff for $50 to help fill that up. It was absolutely a total God thing, and they were super sweet, and we were trying to encourage them, and they were wanting so happy that they're going to bless us, and it's going to be used for the glory of the Lord. Just what a blessing. And so just continue to pray. Also, if anybody wants to help out, get the word out. We've got these little slides that we do every Sunday morning, and it's got to be somebody who knows Facebook and knows computers and has a little bit of time each week. But we'd like you to put out some of these slides that we do on Sunday out on Facebook, and it just gets the word out again. Maybe pray over it every time. Somebody that just knows a little bit about computers and Facebook. I know nothing. I'm not on Facebook. But somebody who knows a little bit about computers and Facebook that will make sure and take the time to do this. Because God's word will never return void, as you heard testimony this morning. Every time. And it's just another chance to reach a group of people with the word of God and to encourage them. So please pray about that. All we need is somebody who is faithful to do that, okay? And so just want to encourage you that. Also, at the end of this month, just know we've got a picnic as long as the monsoons stop. Sunday, September 30th. So we're going to have some sort of meat or burgers or hot dogs or barbecue or whatever. Just bring a side and a dessert to share after service. Also, the North River Care Center is doing their 20th year celebration October 4th. And see Laura. Laura, raise your little hand. I know we've got some folks that are going from the church. And so if you would like to join that table or join that group, please see her. And I'm sure she'd be happy to give you more information. I'm going to skip a lot of these things that are going on. You guys will just have to figure that out later. Real quickly, because I want to get into the word. If anybody still wants to join us for this cruise, I'm so excited about this. It's going to be great. We're going to be going to different ports, Rome, Malta, Footsteps of the Apostles, Cyprus, Israel, Athens. We're going to them all. So if you'd like to join us, please see me for that. And then Sunday mornings for prayer, join us at 9 a.m. You know, D.L. Moody said something really cool one time. There was a group of kids, college students, that wanted to go to Chicago to see the Moody Bible Institute and see Moody's church. And so they went there, and it was cold, and they got there early because they were excited to see D.L. Moody, you know, this evangelist. And so they were all excited about it. And then this old guy came out, you know, happened to see him, and he said, "Oh, hi." And he said, "Oh, yeah, we're here to see D.L. Moody." He said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Yes, we've come up here to check him out." He said, "Oh, that's great. You know, he's just a fiery preacher. Oh, that's wonderful." And then he said, "Hey, while you're waiting, would you like me to show you what really heats up this building and really heats up this church?" And so the guys are like, "Not really," but they didn't want to be rude to this old guy. And so they said, "You know what, we'll go. We'll go with him." And so this old guy took him around for a little tour, and they took him down to the basement of the church. And in the basement of that church, he opened the door, and there were swarms of people praying for the folks that are going to arrive. And he said, "I'm D.L. Moody." The guy he thought was the janitor said, "I'm D.L. Moody, and I want you to know what's the cause of that fiery preaching.
It's all those people that are praying. That's what heats up this church. And that's what heats up this church. And so we want to encourage you to come out, please, and to pray. Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We've got Bible studies, men's Bible studies, on first and third Tuesdays. Is that this Tuesday? Okay. And so dinner at 6 for guys. And then Bible study at 6:30. And you are going through? Okay, Timothy chapter 6. Awesome. Okay, so we invite you to come out. Also, Transformers Youth Group here every Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. Woo, woo. Also, our parenting Bible study on Thursday night. I want to encourage you to go. And also, Shepherd's Art Christian School, continue to pray for them. All right, and let's get into the Word of God. Okay, open your Bibles, please, to Daniel chapter 9. We've been going through the book of Daniel. It's been pretty amazing, verse by verse. And it's been pretty incredible. Last week in Daniel chapter 8. Oh, if you need a Bible, would you raise your hand? Joe, can you grab a couple Bibles and see if anybody needs one? Came in. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. And Jolton Jojo, filled with joy of the Lord, will come bring one right to you. So we've been going through the entire book of Daniel. It's been very exciting. The first six chapters of Daniel was basically Daniel's life from when he was taken from Jerusalem, basically as a captive, trained in the ways of the Babylonians, but he remained faithful to the Lord. Him and his friends, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those are their Babylonian names that they were given. But those are the first six. And now these next chapters we talked about, 7 through 12, have to do with prophecy, and they're basically Daniel's visions and how God spoke to him. And so last week in Daniel chapter 8, God gave him the visions of what's going to happen next, countries, who's going to be in power next. Amazing, accurate stuff. People were blown away, and they still are, at the accuracy of Daniel. And in fact, and even in some end time stuff, what's going to happen in the end of days. And Joe, could you go over a little closer to that light for me, buddy? You hit that light for just a second with my little blind eyes. Thank you. At the end of Daniel chapter 8, you know, and again, when it comes to imagery, it's not always easy. Even Daniel, he says, verse 27, at the end of chapter 8, I, Daniel, was exhausted and lay ill for several days. You know, it was heavy, all this vision, all this information. And he also says in that same verse, I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond my understanding. And sometimes some of this stuff is beyond our understanding. But God's Holy Spirit reveals it to us. But he says, then I got up and went about the king's business. So I guess I would have to say as a message for us, you know what? No matter what's coming against you, maybe you're exhausted. Maybe you're appalled. Maybe you're, just overwhelmed, whatever the case may be, all right, take it in, pray, and then you be about your king's business. Don't let the enemy stop you. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let worry, regret, sin, don't let anything stop you. Get up, say, Lord Jesus, will you help me? By faith, I'm just going to do it anyway. I want to be about your business. At the parenting Bible study, it went super duper well. But I have to tell, Lisa was so exhausted. And so I was like, oh, Lord, I just want to stay home tonight. But I can't because Lisa's more exhausted. And then I was like, oh, Lord, I just can't. Just the day off. Just. And then I went. And you know what? I came by. And the kids, too, because they were watching. The teenagers were watching some of the younger kids for our parents. And they were tired, too. And so we all came. We just prayed. And then we went about the king's business. And I'll tell you what, after that parenting course, everybody was so excited and so encouraged by it. I came out so excited and so encouraged and so reminded. And then the kids too, they were so blessed and so encouraged. And so no matter what's going on in your life, get up, be about the king's business. Okay, so now here we are. About 11 years have passed from Daniel chapter 8, the vision of the ram and the goat and the Greece and the Medo-Persians and all that. And now we're in Daniel chapter 9. And so we're going to see some incredible fulfilled prophecy in the book of Daniel. A guy, a Christian by the name of J.I. Packer, said, "The stars may fall, but God's promises will stand and be fulfilled." And God's word says in Joshua chapter 23, 14, "You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all God's good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed, including the promises that we're going to read today. Our God is faithful. You can take him at his word. You can trust him, even if you can't see it at the time. You, by faith, hold on to his word. Every one of those promises are precious, and you can trust him, and you can hold on to his word." So let's start off in verse 1. Of Daniel chapter 9. It starts off with this. "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom." It starts off, now here really quickly. "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes." Now some people, that Xerxes, some of your Bibles might say, Ahasuerus, is that correct? Okay, and then some people say to me, "Oh, see, the Bible's not right, right here, different names." Okay, no, Xerxes is the Greek name, is how the Greeks called this king. He was called Xerxes. The Hebrews called him Ahasuerus. It's the same person. He actually had a different name, his Persian name. I wrote it down, but I can't even pronounce it. So it's like Kesha Yarsha or something like that. Anyway, and so he was the king, and this was roughly about 539 BC is when history tells us this is, shortly after the fall of Babylon, when the Medes and the Persians have come in and taken over control. And so that's kind of, and that year 539 is kind of important because we're going to get to that in a minute. Okay, and it says, this was in the first year of his reign. He says, "I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years." And so the first thing I notice is it says, "I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures." So I like that. Because here we have Daniel. When I think of Daniel, I think a man zealous for the Lord. I think of a man who, he interpreted dreams, right? For King Nebuchadnezzar, didn't he do that? In fact, he had dreams. He had visions. I mean, you're going to see an angel's going to speak to him. Gabriel's going to speak to him later on in this chapter. This guy's all about the supernatural here. But you know what he's not ignoring? Scripture. We can never, never, never forget the word of God. Any man or woman who's ever going to be used by the Lord is going to be a man or woman who reads the word. And that's what he's doing. It says that he understood the scriptures according to the word of the Lord. And I know this is kind of dumb maybe for some of you, and this is not an exhaustive list, but you know, it made me think, okay, here you got Daniel, a man of God, and he's reading the scriptures, and it says that he understood the scriptures. And so a question would be like, and this is just not an exhaustive list, this is just four simple tips, okay, to help you understand the scriptures. It says Daniel understood the scriptures. Here's four simple tips, okay? Here it is, nothing fancy schmancy. Okay, you ready? And you're going to laugh.
Amen.
You're number one. Read it. Now that sounds silly. I realize it, but if I could probably say what is making, I believe that there's a real heart in many professing Christians, but they have no idea what the word says for themselves. They don't read it for themselves. Now listen, I'm so thankful that you come here. You're going to get taught verse by verse through the Bible. You come to the men's Bible studies. You're going to get all this. You're going to get the word. But we want you to read the word for yourselves. So it almost sounds kind of silly. So if you want to understand the scripture, the first thing you need to do is read it. "Well, Pastor Darren, you don't know. I don't understand the scriptures." Okay, you know what I would recommend to you then? Read it anyway. "Well, Darren, I read, Pastor Darren, I read all the book of Matthew. You know,
Just pick a book. Pick a book in the New Testament. You know, don't start in Leviticus or something. Pick a book in the New Testament, any book you want, okay? Just start chapter 1, verse 1, and start reading. A chapter a day. Just read a chapter a day. Keeps the enemy at bay. Two or more will kick him out of the door. Just read one chapter a day. Just ask him. Just read it. And if you only get 25%, you know what? The next time you read it through, you're going to get maybe 45 or 50%. Just read it. Now, here's the deal. You can also listen to it. I'm not just saying, that's the main thing, read it. Now, there are commentaries. Listen, if anybody, you don't understand, I have a hard time staying on track reading that way. Listen, I don't understand it. It's kind of confusing. Here's a My Time with God through the New Testament, okay? You take one of this, in 1 year you will read through the New Testament and it has corresponding scripture verses from the Old Testament and a little question. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and it'll have like little questions from Billy Graham, something to think about, Charles Stanley. If you want it, can I just tell you, it's a free gift. We want to give it to you in Jesus' name. If anybody wants one, raise your hand. We've given away a lot, and it's yours. You just have to read it in Jesus' name. Okay? Just take it. You know what? I would say no, but I'm going to say yes, I will allow you to do that in Jesus' name. But you have to do it in Jesus' name. Now listen. Now there's commentaries that you can read if you want something online. If you want something to listen to, that guy that we're going with, Enduring Word, Dave Guzik, we're going with him on that cruise. You can listen to any chapter, any verse of any book of the Bible, enduringword.com. If you want a commentary, he's the guy, it's been a while since I've talked to him, but a guy by the name of John Corson. This is a little commentary through the New Testament, okay? Through the New Testament, verse by verse. Not this one, but this one I'll give away.
I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, it really brings it to life.
Yes. Yes, so absolutely. So if you want one of these, I'll give it to you as a gift in Jesus' name. And I've got teachings from another guy in my pocket on a zip drive. So if you want audio teachings for your computer that you can download to your iPod or something like that, got it right here through the entire Bible from somebody else that I trust. And so just see me, and we will give that to you free as a gift in Jesus' name. But read it. And why do we read it? Because here's why. This is what God says. It says, for the word of God is powerful. The word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It cuts even between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. Listen, when you read that Bible, it's the only book that's reading you as you read it. Take time. Allow the Lord to penetrate your heart. Most people are weak in the Lord. I've had to tell people this, and I'm a truth guy, and so I do it as lovingly as I can, but I've had to sit with people and say, you know, the reason why you're floundering, and I say this super humbly, super respectfully, is because you're not in the Word. And I'm not trying to say that in a prideful way. I'm not trying to say that to be mean. I'm just saying it's because it's true. The Word of God has to be in you. You have to read it. Listen, folks, even faith, if you're here and you don't even know the Lord yet, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. If you're a newborn babe, I'm just a Christian for the first 5 years. Well, guess what? Scripture still applies to you. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you can grow thereby. It'll give you understanding. My kids, I was with my kids going to Panera. We were supposed to pick up a bunch of bread and stuff, and found out that I was with one of my younger boys. And unfortunately, they were out, so we had to turn around. And I just was making conversation with one of my younger boys, and I said, hey, how's your walk with the Lord doing? And he's like, you know, Dad, it's doing real good. It's doing better. I said, right, why is that? He's like, well, I started reading the Word. I said, oh, that's great. I said, well, just, what are you reading? He's like, oh, I'm going through the book of John. Fantastic, son.
Fantastic. And then last night we had some friend over, one of my teenagers' friends, and it's like 12:30, and they're getting ready for bed, and I go upstairs, say goodnight, and one of them's in their bed, lights off, right, and I said, hey, what are you doing, son? He's got a little light on there. He's like, oh, I'm just reading the Word. I said, really? I said, yeah. And so I asked him this morning, I said, hey, just out of curiosity, why are you reading that Word? What are you reading? You know, and he told me what, he said, I'm reading Ezra. I said, that's great. He's like, I said, why do you read it? He said, Dad, because it strengthens me. And I thought, oh, there's going to be a strong man of God. Now, you might not be getting it all at once. You know what I'm saying? But Psalm 1 says that you will be like that song we sang, you'll be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. In season. Just let that fruit abide in you. Let it grow. Take it in. Trust the Lord. Wash your mind. Renew your mind. Read it. Listen to it. You don't want to be the big man baby. Some of us have been in the church for a while, and you know what? You're still kind of infants, and we're still, we can be that way if we're not really getting the Word and making use of it and putting it in. Hebrews 5:11-14 says, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Some of you have. But instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. And so we want you, some of us, we need to grow up. We need to start eating the meat and potatoes of the Word. I love this. Can you hit the lights just for a second, JoJo? This is a beautiful street that they have in the Netherlands. And I love it. It's so cool. It's a path. It's a little path, a walk path, bike path, whatever you want to call it. And the darker it gets at night, the more this path lights up. Isn't that amazing? And I thought, what a beautiful illustration that is for the Word of God. Psalm 119:105 says, your Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So that means when you're getting this Word in you, you might not even notice it. But when things get dark, when things get really gloomy and you can't see, that Word is going to be lit up right in front of you, step by step. And you'll be able to see the path that you're supposed to take because you've done that prep work. You've gotten that Word of God in you. It will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Now listen, I'm not trying to put condemnation on anybody. Listen, if you're not reading the Word, and sometimes I'm as a pastor, I read the Word or listen to the Word as much as I can, but sometimes I don't do it for myself. I'm doing it for a teaching. God wants us to get that Word in for ourselves. I love this. Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You want to be strong in the Lord. You want to be that Superman, that Supergirl, that hero or whatever, that defender of the Lord. That comes from getting His Word in your heart so you don't sin against Him. There's no way to do that unless you read and listen. One of the things we have when you walk in this place is a Spurgeon quote. This is, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. And that is so true. And be a Berean. Don't just listen to what I say or what Gary says or whatever. Acts 17:11 says, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians because they received the message with great eagerness and they examined the scriptures once a week, once a month. What does it say? Every day to see if Paul was true. Listen, the enemy just wants you distracted. It's easy. It happens to all of us, right? So I'm not condemning anybody. It happens to me. But don't let him pull you away. Take the time. Make the time, actually. So here, four tips, simple tips to understand Scripture. One is realize it. One is read it. Two is realize it. I mean, realize that you have the words of eternal life. Luke 21:33 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Everything else is going to burn. How much time did you spend on your hair today? How much time did you spend on the bills this week? I'm not saying you don't put all those aside. All I'm saying is the car, the kid, whatever you're learning, video, whatever it is, it's all going to burn. But anything you put in, the Word of God, right? Someday it's the whole world, it's going to be rolled up like a garment, right?
But the word of God is never going to pass away. When you put that in you, it's lasting forever. You will pass that on to generation, down your family, to your friends. You will live it, see it, and give it away. That will never go away. That's awesome. Fads come and go. Realize, guys, realize it. His word is inspired. Some translations say God breathed. I love that. All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us to what is true and to make us what? Realize what's wrong in our life. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do right. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you need that. So realize that it's inspired. Take it in. He's given it to you as a gift. Don't let it sit on the shelf. Do we treasure that word? Realize the awesomeness that you have. Job 23:12 says this, "I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." You don't want scripture to be, what did I used to eat? Oh, it was terrible. Oh, sorry. Don't want to offend anybody, but too late probably now. Okay, so when I was younger, my dad fed me this stuff called gravel. Maybe it was my mom, I don't remember. But anyway, it was called grape nuts. Have you ever had that? I thought, as a kid, I thought, oh, grapes, I love that. That sounds, sure. You know, and that was the hook, you know. And then they pour you this little plate of, you know, street gravel. And that's pretty much what it tastes like, in my opinion, street gravel. Okay, so some of us approach the word of God like we're eating grape nuts. I'll do it because I know I have to. Or should we maybe eat it and look at it as like the banana split that, you know, with all the toppings and how are you seeing it? You know, develop an appetite for the word, treasure it. Yes, Elijah, you have a comment? I don't know where that mic went, but you speak nice and loud. Well, oh, we got it coming. Speedy delivery. You always do a good job. And now you're getting tall. You go faster.
Well, some other people can sometimes treat the Word of God like castor oil. Like, it doesn't taste very good, but I know it'll help me in the future, so I eat it.
Yes, that's right.
You didn't soak it in milk.
Listen, you could have soaked it in raw sugar, it still would. Anyway, listen, realize that God's word transforms us. Listen, the world is trying to conform you into a certain mold, into a certain direction. God is trying to transform you, but can only do that with the renewing of your mind. Okay, you're missing the point.
But it's gravel, but if you take it in.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, good. Listen to what Psalm, this is from Psalm 19, this is verse like 7 through 11. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. This is what your word, God's given you, and that we don't take advantage of. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. Thank you, Lord, for that. A few amens there. The precepts of the Lord are right. It rejoices the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure. It lightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even fine gold, sweeter than honey, and sweeter than the drippings of the honeycomb. That's what the word, realize that what you have in front of you. Wow. So read it, realize it, and then request help. Request help. John 14:26 says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what I have said. But you have to put it in there. Request help. Ask, say, Holy Spirit, every time you open the Word of God, will you help teach me? Will you help me to understand the Scriptures? Every time you come in here, anybody teach here, pray. Don't just pray together. That's wonderful. Ask him personally. Lord, will you speak through the donkey Darren? You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. Will you speak through, you know, Gary? Will you speak through whatever, whoever's up here? Lord, speak to me personally. Request his help. And the Lord is saying, skip the next one. Oh, it's a good one though, but okay. You know, in fact, in 2 Corinthians, it says that we can't even understand the scriptures. In fact, if you can read it for yourself, 2 Corinthians 2:14, we can't even understand the scriptures without the Holy Spirit. And so ask him every time to speak to you. And then here's the other thing, the four things. You could read it, you can realize what it is, you can even request help, but you got to respond to it. You got to do something about it. Jeremiah 15:16 says this: your words were found and I ate them. I ate them. And here's what was interesting to me. So he had to do something, right? I had your word, right? Sitting on the shelf. I'm praying. But I ate them. I took them inside me. And your words, what? Became for me the joy and the delight of my heart. You see, it might not be that way right this exact moment for you. Maybe it is. If it is, fantastic. But it might not be that way. It's okay. Do it anyway, because it'll become the joy and delight of your heart. For I have been called by your name. And then listen to this one. Make sure you respond to God's word. This is from James 1, 22 and 25. Hey, it says this: don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. You got to respond. My goodness, we're in verse 1. Holy schmoes. All right. Sorry, moving right along. Here we go. Speeding it up a bit. If you grab that light, Jojo. Thanks. Okay. Chapter 9. All right. It says that I, Daniel, understood the scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet. And we have to understand that all scripture, just like 2 Peter says, no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And then everybody knows the scripture verse. It says that he spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. And people who, well, how did, if Daniel's in Babylon, then how did he get the Jeremiah's writings? How about that? Well, I'll answer that question for you in just a minute. And then it says, after reading, he realized, he's saying, whoa, this desolation of Jerusalem is going to last 70 years. And he's thinking, okay, I was taken in 605 BC from Jerusalem. That's when Nebuchadnezzar came, and it's right now it's 539 BC. That's about what, 67 years? So we're almost there. That means pretty soon God's going to restore Jerusalem. He's going to restore my home. He's going to restore his people. That's amazing to me. Now, everybody knows this verse as like, hey, I know the plans I have for you. And everybody kind of teaches it as like, see, once you trust Jesus, everything will be great. Everything's wonderful. You just prance through the posies with Jesus all the time. But go with me to Jeremiah 29 real quickly in your Bible. Backwards. Because God is so cool. He prophesied in advance that they would be in Babylon 70 years. Because when God spoke that thing, they were being rebuked. They were in the middle of a rebuke. And in Jeremiah 29:1, it says this. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent to Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and priests, the prophets, and all other people Nebuchadnezzar carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So here he goes. He sends this letter to Babylon. Jeremiah does. And so now folks out there are reading it, folks like Daniel. And it says, this is what I'm saying to you. Look at verse 10. And he says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, okay, then I will come for you to fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Then he says, because I know the plans I have for you. So they were in the middle of a discipline. That's part of God's love.
He says, so I'm going to carry you back. Jeremiah 25 says the same thing. We don't need to turn there. But Jeremiah 25, 8 to 14, verses 8 to 14, says the exact same thing. It says 70 years. So, wow, Daniel's like, this is actually happening. And he goes back in Daniel and he says, in verse 3 of Daniel chapter 9, so I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So he's realizing, man, God's promises are true. He's going to restore us. And so where it says, so I turned to the Lord, probably a better translation would be, some of your translations might say this, I set my face. That's really more what it means in Isaiah. It's the same words that he uses in Isaiah. And it says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face. And what he means by that, he means I am determined. I'm setting my face to the Lord. It's not just turning to him. It's like unwaveringly, unswerving, undaunted. I'm going to set my face to the Lord, and nothing's going to move me. Nothing's going to turn me aside. No one, no thing, nothing. Because I want to follow the Lord. I'm going to set my face like a flint. And a flint's just a hard rock. Shalamash in Hebrew. And I'm going to set it like a rock. And I will not be ashamed, he says. I'm going to trust the Lord no matter what. So he says, I've set my face to the Lord. And I won't be moved. He goes on to say that he started fasting. And the Bible talks about fasting. That's probably my weakest area in my walk with the Lord. Is fasting, as you can tell. But fasting is basically putting off some of your physical needs, like if you would have lunch or eat a certain food or eat a certain time, and taking time in prayer or Bible study instead. In Matthew 6, Jesus said he said when you fast, he expected us to do that. But he says, so I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast. And then he says he put on sackcloth and ashes. What does that mean? Do you know what sackcloth and ashes are? Sackcloth? What is it like? What?
Burlap.
Yes, it's like a burlap. Like, have you ever seen like the sack races or something like that? It's like, it's itchy. It was back then, it would have been like camel's hair, goat hair, very uncomfortable. You put that on to mourn. You would put the ashes on to show that you're desolate and ruined and uncomfortable. It shows repentance. And so he's putting this on. And I kind of have to, and he started praying. I kind of have to ask myself, it says, he prayed to the Lord and he confessed. And I'm thinking to myself, Daniel, you're a pretty awesome, godly guy. Why did you pray? Why did you confess? But we're all sinners, aren't we? Even Daniel. And it says that he prayed to the Lord and he confessed. And I like that. And I love, in that last verse in 3, it says he pleaded with him in prayer. And to me, that just says Daniel's got heart. He's pleading with the Lord, putting sackcloth and ashes on. Like, have you ever been to a prayer meeting? And the prayer time is like, they could be reading off of a cookbook. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, listen, we have different personalities, but it's like, okay. It says he pleaded with the Lord. That shows fervency. It shows passion. Like sometimes in a prayer meeting, and it's like, okay, Lord, we'd like one cup of healing. I'd like a spoonful, a pinch of blessing. We'd like one scoop of provision. Mix it together. And that's it. What? Where's the heart? You're praying for someone's healing. You're praying for someone's... Check the heart. You're not reading a shopping list or your laundry list. You know, he's pleading with them. The Bible says to pray passionately. The effectual, fervent prayer. Fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Give it some heart.
And it says, I prayed and confessed. And I love that he did that. I love that he confessed. I love that he prayed. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he goes on to say, and I love this. He says, oh Lord, great and awesome God. And he is great and awesome. Can I tell you something? If you don't know him as a great and awesome God, wow, are you missing out? He is awesome. And not like totally awesome, dude. Like the wave is totally rip curl awesome. No, I mean it causes you to sit in awe of God. Wow. That's the kind of awesome I'm talking about. And he's great. Psalm 95:3, for the Lord is a great God and a great king above all other little g gods. Psalm 68:35 says, you, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God, for the Lord Most High is awesome, the great king over all the earth. He is awesome and worthy to be praised. Know him as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He spoke the stars into existence. Here's our sun, right? Here's the earth, right? He spoke it. It says he knows them by name. That's our God. Yet he knows the number of hairs on your head, Nate Weaver. That's awesome that he takes time to speak to you. And here's the prayer. And it takes about 3 minutes, but this is what it says. Oh Lord, this is Daniel praying. Oh Lord, great and awesome, who keeps the covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned. We have done wrong. We have been wicked. We have rebelled. We have turned away. Can I ask you a quick question? Why is he saying we? I thought Daniel was a righteous guy. Why is he saying we? I'm sorry, what? Why? Huh? Yeah, I think it's humility too. I think Daniel's saying, hey, I'm including myself in this. Have you ever been around somebody and they're praying, Lord, fix those people. They need this and they need that. No, I need this. I need that. So he's praying. Look, it's all throughout. Listen, if you just underline we, this is Daniel. It doesn't even show that he sinned. I know he did because the Bible is true, but I don't remember seeing anywhere in the scriptures where I saw him sin. Yet he's saying, we've sinned. And he's being direct. You know what I mean? I'd love to hear this. You know, Pastor Darren, you know, I've done some things that aren't exactly right. Pastor Darren, you know what? I haven't been as loving as I ought to be. No, listen to what Daniel's saying. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I've turned away. I've not listened. I've rebelled. Do you think it's important to take ownership of your sin? Absolutely. It says, we've not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name, our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of our land. And they haven't, and they didn't. God came to them again and again. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 15 to 19, we'll talk about that. But it says that he came to his people again and again, and they ignored his people. They ignored his word. In fact, Jeremiah sent the word even to the king, and you know what the king did? He cut it up and threw it in the fire. He's like, oh yeah, the word of the Lord? Blah, blah, blah. I want to do my own thing. And there's a price to pay for that, for him, for them, and for me, and for you. When God speaks something to you, don't throw it away. Listen to what he's saying. Take it to heart. He says, oh Lord, he goes on to say, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. Oh Lord, we are kings, our princes, our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. Notice that he's not blaming anybody else but himself and themselves. They're not mad at God. God, why are you doing this to me? When somebody really repents, they're not saying that. They're saying, God, forgive me for being a knucklehead. Forgive my sin. It says, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, and he is. If you would just turn to him and repent, forgive, ask him to forgive you. Even now, God, forgive my sin. Be specific with him. I'm a liar. I'm a jerk. I've cheated on my, whatever it is, just tell him. He's merciful and forgiving, verse 9 says, even though we've rebelled against him. Wow, that's amazing. He's quick to forgive, slow to anger, abounding in love, God says. Verse 10 says, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey. And therefore, the curses are... Hey, God's... In Deuteronomy, God put blessings and curses. If you obey me, I'm going to bless you. If you disobey me, I'm going to spank you. And it says, therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. All he did was what he said he would do. Under the whole heaven, nothing like this has ever been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. Oh, that we would just pay attention to our sins and pay attention to our truth, to the truth. Verse 14 says, the Lord did not hesitate to bring disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Hey, really quickly, if there's ever having a problem, if you have a problem with God, realize that he is just and fair. Revelation says that. Revelation 19:2 says, righteous and true are your judgments. It's not him that's out of line, it's you. It's me. Verse 15 says, now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away from your anger. Turn away your anger and wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sin and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Verse 18 says, give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Huh, isn't that true? Verse 19 says, O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O God, do not delay, because your name and your people bear your name. And that is Daniel's prayer. Now the next part, we don't have time because we're already over. But the 77s of Daniel is going to speak. And the prophecies that are in this last section are so accurate, so perfect, even to the very day. It's amazing that God would be able to do this. But to me, that'll give me, and hopefully, Lord willing, it'll give you tremendous confidence in the Word of God. And, you know, I hear a lot, oh, America needs this, and America needs that, and America needs this, and we need to repent. And you know what? Can I just encourage you to do something? Do what Daniel did. It started with him. Lord, just, oh, America needs this. Oh, they need that. Oh, God, we need this. Would you help me? Is there something in your life that you need to confess to him, that you need to repent of? And generally, repent, just, it's a military term. It just means turning, a changing of mind, a changing of direction. God doesn't want you to walk in the same way.
that you've gone before. So whatever you're going through, whatever direction you're going, you can stop right now. You can turn around that attitude. You can turn around those words. You can turn around those thoughts. You can turn around that, you know what it is. And you can give it to him and say, Lord, I don't want to walk that way anymore. I want to walk your way. Will you empower me to do that? Lord, would you help us right now, Lord God? You know what that is in our hearts, Lord, and we don't know, Lord, even ourselves, how to ask for it. So we're just asking, help us, Lord. Lord, we just confess whatever we have, Lord, going on in our lives that isn't right with you. And we ask that you would change it, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you would help each one of us, Lord, to be students of your word, Lord God, that we would be like Mary, Lord, that would just sit at your feet, Lord, and hear what you have to teach us, Lord, because your words will never pass away, Lord God. I ask your blessing on your people, Lord God, as they go this week, as we go to the Bible studies on Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays, Lord, that you would encourage your people, Lord God, that no matter what they're going through, that they would be about the King's business, Lord. I thank you and I ask you to bless this group of people, Lord, and I thank you for all that you're doing, and I thank you for them, Lord God. Please encourage them and speak to them. And even tonight, Lord, draw their hearts to read your word, no matter what, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.